Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
Tonight, in keeping with the calendar of our church, we are celebrating the Feast of the Holy Cross. This is a celebration of the veneration of the cross on which Jesus died, and it is actually one of our oldest celebrations in the church. The story of how this came to be goes something like this. Roman Emperor Constantine, who ruled from about 306 to 337 AD, took the Christian church under his protection, and he decided that to show his benevolence and protection, he would build a grand church. And the site that he decided to build on was Golgotha. Sound familiar? This is, of course, the spot where, according to scripture, Jesus was hung on the cross and died. And it is said that during the excavation of the site, pieces of the actual cross were found. And pieces have been taken and scattered, but some of it has been enshrined near the altar of that new church. And we are told that the church was dedicated on September 14th, 335 AD, and since that day, Christians have been celebrating this feast. That church is now called Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and it is actually now shared by five different congregations. Isn't that amazing? Five different Christian communities in Jerusalem share that space. And I've never been to Jerusalem. I've traveled, but not there, and it is something for me to imagine standing in that space, a building that is that ancient, with that much history. Maybe you've been. I'd love to hear if you have. It sounds remarkable. So tonight, we remember it from here. And because of this feast day, we are thinking specifically about the cross on whose spot that church marks. So the cross. This symbol of our faith that has a variety of meanings for us. A symbol of death and torture, a symbol of our lives following Jesus, a symbol by which we are recognized by others. It is found in our buildings. It influences the architecture of our churches. The cross is easily at the center of who we are and what we do. The cross in the Jesus story marks the turning point in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and in our faith. It is the point at which we move from listening to the teachings of Jesus among his friends and the healing that he offered while he was still alive to the story of the death and resurrection. Peter Elliott, this morning, in his final sermon in this community, offered the following. He said, "The Christian's worldview is in the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this story is revealed this simple but profound truth that the cross symbolizes, that we move from death to new life. And not only that, the story of the dying and the rising of Jesus tells us something even more important, even more relevant in its revelation, that God is not a deity to be appeased, but rather God is the energy of love that seeks to reach us. The energy of love that seeks to reach us." And so, over the years, the cross has become a deeply political symbol. But let's have a look at our gospel reading from John as we continue to think this through. So John reminds us that the Son of Man must be lifted up in the same way that the serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness to save the people from the venomous snakes that God put there in the first place to attack them because the people had spoken out about God. It's not a great story for God. He sort of redeems God's self in the end. Remember that from the first reading? So the people are in the desert feeling a little forsaken. They're hungry, and the food isn't very good, and they complain about it, and so God sends snakes. And then Moses intervenes and prays to God, and God tells them to build a snake out of bronze and stick it on a pole, and then anyone who looks at it after they've been bitten will live. So Jesus is like that, John says. Like the bronze snake. Super helpful. Except, according to John, whoever looks to Jesus will have eternal life. So maybe not so disconnected. We don't seem to like talk. I don't think we're talking about living forever here. None of us actually gets to do that, thank God. We are talking about salvation. And that is a tricky word. Salvation. Because we're being saved from what exactly? So let's come back to that. Let's stay with the reading for one more minute, because now we get to the part where John reminds us that God gave their only son for us so that we could be saved through him. There's that word again, saved. And again, so that everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, might have eternal life. And what are we talking about here again? Salvation. Well, according to this reading, we are in deep trouble and in dire need of saving, because John says it many times just throughout this one little pericope. And you know what? I'm not sure John's wrong. We do need saving, mostly from ourselves and from forgetting about the God who seeks us and who seeks to bring us back to love. And looking to Jesus does help us so that we don't succumb to the bites of the snakes around us, those snakes that slide around and help us to forget that God is with us, reminds us or tries to make us believe that we are alone, that show up in hard and disorienting times. Those snakes want us to forget that God is right here, that we have not been forsaken, that there is always the possibility of life. We just have to choose it. Those snakes that include self-doubt, believing that we are not good enough, the consumer culture that is the air that we breathe, that says if you just buy more, you will have more or be better. The concern of being left out. The suggestion that we might debate that climate change isn't a fact. The judgment of others. Gossip. You get it, you probably have your own snakes. The snakes are getting a bad rap here, but I'm sure they have some redeeming qualities. I don't know what they are. I'm not a big fan of snakes. But it is helpful imagery to me to think about them slithering around me with those words on their backs, those things that I cart around with me that separate me from God, that make me believe that I'm not enough somehow, or that God isn't here, or that have me putting up blinders to being able to see where God is in my life. And I like that I might look to Jesus to help me hold them back or to recover from their bite, that I might be restored to healing and wholeness through what Jesus teaches me about myself and about others and about the world. And so this is where the cross comes in, that cross that symbolizes for us and for me our willingness to put those teachings aside and turn my back on what I know is true, because it is easier, because sometimes I feel overwhelmed, because it can be hard to stand up to those words of self-doubt. That cross on which Jesus hung because we could not say no to the snakes who were louder. That cross which killed Jesus in his bodily form, but that was not the end. I believe that Jesus had to go there. We had to see how bad it could get, Because that's really how we are as humans. We have to see how bad it will get before we're willing to do something differently. And we only need to look at the cross to be reminded. But of course, that cross is that hinging point where the story changes, right? Where it goes from complete loss and devastation to hope and incredible glory. Because Jesus physically died on that cross, but continued to show up, continues to show up even today to remind us what is possible. We continue to gather at the table to remind ourselves of the feast that he shared with his friends in those last days, in which he reminded them and us of their and our chosenness and God's love for them. We continue to be reminded of our own belovedness of God by and with each other, of what is possible, that we can find salvation in community and in love and in caring for each other and the earth. Those bites have no power for us because of what we know in Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate the cross for what it is, a reminder of how bad it can get, and that death is not the end. We honor the cross because it reminds us that the death that was offered by the world does not have the last word for us. There is beauty and mystery now found on the site where the cross that Jesus was, on the spot where the cross, Jesus, where Jesus once hung, was. It's a complicated sentence that I wrote there. There is possibility all around us, and the potential to work for more. We are saved from having to listen to those voices or from allowing evil, the evil that is present in the world, to overwhelm us. Because we can look to the cross, we can remember, and we know that God is with us now, that God is seeking us always and every day to bring us back to love. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.